is getting a preview of its coastal future. The record-breaking elevated water brought by the king tides last month and last weekend will be back next month and in July. The flooding and beach erosion are providing lessons for what's forecast to be a new normal as Hawaii's shores feel the impact of rising sea levels. Bradley Romine is the Coastal Lands Program Manager for the Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources. He joins us now by phone. Aloha.
Aloha, Beth Ann. Good morning.
Nice to have you here. Climate change in Hawaii continues to mean that we see less rainfall, different trade wind patterns. Last year, we had a very strong El Nino. King tides, though, happen every year. Why are they so extreme this year?
You're right. Yeah, good point. So king tides are really just a catchy name for our highest tides of the year due to the particular moon and sun alignment this time of year. We will be experiencing some higher king tides in late June and July around the new moons. What's unusual is that we're seeing about 6 to 9 inches of additional water level on top of these lunar king tides. And this is happening because of an unusual combination or stacking of some additional sea level due to variability and Pacific-wide variability with some natural processes known as the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, and as well as related to El Nino. We also have some of these ocean eddies with elevated centers moving through our islands. I kind of equate this to ocean weather. These are passing from time to time through our islands and tend to raise the ocean water or lower the ocean water a certain amount. And then we also have a certain component of global sea level rise that is contributing to these elevated tides.
That's a lot of conditions to find their way into convergence. But do you see that these this confluence of all those conditions that you just mentioned happen frequently, and then this time it's just that we're seeing something that's extraordinary, but these conditions exist and will continue to?
No, it is somewhat extraordinary that they're all lining up this way. And in fact, this weekend we also had a south swell on top of it that increased some of the run-ups on that. So it's unusual in that regard to have all these things stacking up on top of each other. But it does provide a very interesting, informative glimpse at our future. We're calling this nuisance flooding. It's just we didn't really experience anything catastrophic with this, but we weren't really expecting that. But we did have some high wave run-ups and localized flooding around some of our South Shore areas in particular. But the one lesson we're trying to share with folks on this is that, you know, this extraordinary high tide is likely to be similar to our average high tides in the coming decades with global sea level rise.
You know, Chip Fletcher, the Associate Dean of the UH School of Ocean and Earth Science and Technology, said in a university statement, quote, "Within a few decades, this will be the new normal. Hawaii should consider this a practice run and reevaluate policies and development practices accordingly." Do you think that that's really being done across government and the scientific community?
I think so. So with the university, we also had, through our King Tides program, we had mobilized folks all around the islands to take photos and document areas of flooding and erosion with this high tide event. So we're trying to document through observations areas that are vulnerable now that will become more vulnerable in the future. And then looking at the future, we're also working on a statewide sea level rise vulnerability and adaptation report. This is something I'm involved in through my Sea Grant involvement and my joint appointment with DLNR here in an advisory role. Through the Hawaii Climate Adaptation Initiative, we are developing the statewide sea level rise vulnerability and adaptation report, and we're mapping and doing a vulnerability assessment of areas that will be increasingly exposed to erosion and coastal flooding and storm impacts with sea level rise.
You mentioned the Hawaii Climate Adaptation Initiative Act that was passed in 2014, and also the fact that this is part of the work with Sea Grant. Aren't those funds threatened, though?
I'm not aware of that. No, we have the funding to complete the state sea level rise report that will be done at the end of this year. We also received some additional federal funding through the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, to do some additional projects to improve resilience to coastal hazards and sea level rise. In particular, we're developing an online viewer for the data that's coming out of the state sea level rise report. We're looking at our community development planning process and how we can better plan for coastal hazard and sea level rise through that, And also looking at post-disaster recovery, how do we better recover after a hurricane or other damaging event to improve our resilience to future hazards with sea level rise?
Are you at all concerned that, federal funds might not be flowing into NOAA in the same way that they have in past, and that might impact your work?
Yeah, we're worried about the future for that. We're watching that. The funding is good for the work we're doing right now, as I understand it, but future proposed projects may be a concern.
So as you're now looking at the vulnerable areas, can you name some of them that we might not normally think about?
There's a few that stand out around Oahu and Hawaii. Waikiki, of course. We had a lot of run-up in wave flooding over this past weekend with the high tide. But other problem areas, Maui in particular, along Anoa Pi'ilani Highway, around Olawalu and towards Lahaina, they've had a lot of wave overwash and flooding along that highway. Our windward shores here on Oahu, particularly prone to erosion and flooding. Those are the few that really kind of stand out. There's certainly more.
As you compile the report from all the data that you're getting from last month's events, this month's, next month's, and July, will that be available in any sort of real time for people to be able to see and to be able to also look at some of the photographs?
Yeah, all the images get loaded to a database, and I believe those are publicly available for people to browse through. They can go on and check that out at our Hawaii King Tides program through Sea Grant.
And after having experienced just last month and certainly last weekend, are there certain parts of our policies and going future that you especially think that we need to reevaluate or consider differently from perhaps how we thought about all this when the Hawaii Climate Adaptation Initiative Act was passed a few years ago?
In a real general sense, we've just built too close to these really hazard-prone shorelines here in Hawaii. Even disregarding sea level rise for a moment, we've left ourselves really vulnerable to damage from the high waves we experience every year. So I really think we need to rethink our development plans in the future because these problems of coastal erosion and flooding are only going to become more severe and widespread in the future. So we need to take stock of our existing development and make very careful consideration with our future development and land use planning about how we're going to make ourselves less vulnerable to these existing hazards and future hazards with climate change and sea level rise.
And Brad, finally, what about all the, you mentioned all the development that you already see out there and plans for recovery or movement for any of that? Is that already in progress now?
That's a real challenge. I would say the conversation on that is in the early stages at the government level. The State Office of Planning has a project to look at least from an initial standpoint, look at the feasibility of the retreat option from our shorelines. Now, that won't be a one-size-fits-all approach, but it's an option we want to have available, particularly in the areas where we want to conserve the natural shoreline resources, our beaches or even wetlands. We want to have that tool in our pocket as well. So it's a very challenging, vexing thing to try to address. So we're looking at that in the early stages at this point as one option.
We'll look forward to further conversation with you. Thanks so much for the time today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bethann.
Brad Romine is the Coastal Lands Program Manager for the Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources. The next king tides are expected June 23rd and 24th.